for us. And basically, Jesus is saying, you're going to stand out from the crowd, and it's going to get tough. You're going to stand out from the crowd, and it's going to get tough. Way back, remember we talked as well in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, or the start of chapter 1, is almost like an overture to some great symphony, and all the little themes are there. And in the middle of chapter 1, verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The true light that was giving light to every man was coming into the world. Remember, as Jesus is speaking here, this is right now, possibly in the garden where Jesus will be arrested. We're in the shadow of the arrest, the trial, crucifixion, the burial. Are they still walking to the garden? Or are they in the garden? Whatever way, these are sobering words from Jesus. Again, I know I say it often, but do this week. Lift your Bible, open at John 15, and we're just going to very quickly run through these verses and then make an application actually from another little passage. So they're maybe in the garden, they're maybe walking through the garden. Jesus is talking sobering words. And in these sobering words, look at verse 18 through to verse 21. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Persecution. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Your position, verse 19. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. We know the wee phrase, in the world but not of it. Where does it come from? It comes from here in John 16, 15, 16, 17. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of it. Preaching, it's a bit odd. But look at verses 22. Verse 22 through to verse 25 of the passage. If I had come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. If I had not come and spoken to them, so Jesus has spoken, preached, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuses for their sin. He who hates me hates the Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. The passage goes on there. Look at verse 27. You also must testify, for you have been with me. So Jesus is saying, I have spoken the word of truth. In fact, I am the word of truth. Preaching isn't necessarily just standing in a pulpit. It's more than that. We'll talk about that maybe in a little bit. But Jesus says to the disciples, you also must testify that you have been with me. It's going to get tough, but you need to speak for me. Verse 26, look at verse 26. When the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, there it is again, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. When the Counselor comes, he, through you, will testify about me. Look at verses 1 to 4 of chapter 16. All of this I have told you so that you will not go astray. Again, remember, we're in the shadow of the arrest of Jesus. We're in the shadow of the cross. We're in the shadow of the burial. We're in the shadow, yes, of the resurrection. But the disciples didn't know that. And Jesus is saying, all this I've told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. Goodness, think of the Apostle Paul. That's his story. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I've told you this so that when a time comes, you will remember that I warned you. It's going to get tough. It's going to get tough. Does this raise a question within you? Because I don't know about you, I live in this world that you kind of think in your head, and it's completely wrong, it's a fallacy, that if you love Jesus and Jesus is love, therefore everybody will love him and everybody will love you because you're a lovely Christian person. That's somehow the notion we have embedded within us. That Jesus is lovely and everybody will love him. But Jesus is saying here, no. The way they've hated me, they're going to hate you. And the disciples have journeyed with Jesus for 3.5 years and they've saw the people that have been attracted to Jesus. But they have also seen the people who were so opposed to Jesus, the religious leaders who were plotting his death. Why is it so tough? Why does a man who cared for and loved people end up facing such opposition? Yeah, that's confusing. George Orwell says, the further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Let me read that again. The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Get that. Think about your workplace. Young people, think about your school or college or university. The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Unbelievable. And we are so safe here in the West. But each year, between 7,000 and 10,000 Christian martyrs, people lose their lives for their faith. Not in our wee world, but in the world. And that's figures that are kind of tending, kind of, there's some would say much, much more than that, but that's a very conservative figure. People who lose their lives because they love Jesus. In our society, we've heard recently of the air hostess who was chastised, and did she quite lose her job? I can't remember quite. But because she was wearing a cross, somebody complained she had to remove it. The Christian couple over near Bristol who ran a hotel, and there was a homosexual couple who were sharing, wanted to share a room, and they refused because of their young children for their values, and they were taken to court. And in the courts, the judge said this, whatever may have been the position in past centuries, it is no longer the case that our laws must or should automatically reflect the Judeo-Christian position. In the past, yes, our laws were built on Christian values, but no longer today. That's outdated. That's not where we're going. And that's a high court judge. The further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Jesus is saying, folks, friends, it's going to get tough. I want to jump, and jump with me, please, if you will, over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, again, we've talked about storm clouds gathering. We've talked about Peter is the one who denied Jesus, who did not stand up for him at the time of the cross. Thinking about standing for Christ. Read these words with me, please. Chapter 2 from verse 9. But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So Jesus has said to the disciples, it's going to get tough. Peter let the Lord down, but was gloriously reinstated, brought back, forgiven, set back in the path again. And here in one of his letters to the early church, he writes about standing in the truth. In verse 9 as well, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Verse 10, once you were not a people, now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, you don't belong here. Standing in the truth. Once you were not a people, now you're the people of God. Stand strong in Jesus. Our citizenship, says Paul, is in heaven. What's the old chorus, the old hymn say? This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. So Peter is writing. Peter, who let the Lord down and didn't stand, says, stand in the truth. Stand strong in a world that's turning its back on our Lord. Our position, our life is in him. Talks about standing for the truth. Standing for the truth. Look at verse 12, please. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Live such good lives that they may see your good deeds and glorify God, that we're pointing to God. Our purpose is to point to God. Our position is to stand in Jesus, but our purpose is to point to Jesus. Mark Twain says, always tell the truth. That way you don't have to remember what you said. Always tell the truth. That way you don't have to remember what you said. What's he getting at? He's saying, be authentic. Live a life that's true. Live a life that stands for me. Standing in the truth. Standing for the truth. Our position in Jesus. Our purpose to point to Jesus. Speaking the truth. I love this verse. Verse 9. Chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You heard the little phrase, gossiping the gospel? Preaching isn't necessarily just standing in a pulpit. In fact, that's a very tiny bit of it. It's standing over the garden fence when you're doing the garden, talking to your neighbors and trying to sneak Jesus into the conversation. It's being in the Tesco's when Nigel's managing and somebody's cutting you off with their trolley and you're kind of ready to ram them. And you try and think, no, okay, how do I shine for Jesus in the supermarket, at the school gate, on holidays in the campsite or in the hotel? How do I shine for Jesus? How do I speak the truth? I love this quote from St. Augustine. The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, and it will defend itself. But I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm a wee bit coy about letting it loose, because I'll maybe be a wee bit embarrassed. Speak the truth. Peter encourages us to stand out from the crowd. Jesus tells us that in John 15 and 16 that we're going to stand out from the crowd. Question is, do we stand out from the crowd? Challenge for us this morning. Because it's going to get worse. Persecution, maybe not like we see in Syria or Iraq or some of the African countries where the Christian people are just being slaughtered. It's much more subtle in our land, but it's there. And we are called to stand out from the crowd, to stand in the truth of our relationship and our life in Jesus, to stand for the truth, our purpose to point to him, he being the source of our life, and speaking the truth from our lips, preaching, gossiping the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus. I feel as if I've battered you this morning. We are going to stand and sing. Maybe the guys want to come up. We're going to sing Strength Will Rise. It's not there by accident. It's there because I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel I have the strength. Lord, I need you to come in and give me the strength to stand out from the crowd. Because in the workplace, or even in the home within my family who maybe don't know you, to stand for you, Lord, is really difficult. So let's, as we sing these words, we stand together and sing. But let's actually, sometimes we sing songs just for the sake of, let's use these words as a prayer that God's strength would come and help us to stand out from the crowd, not just to be weird, but to shine for Jesus. In him, with the purpose of pointing to him and speaking for him. Let's stand and sing together.